When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Deep Drive Podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram at MLB Nerds. Here are my co-hosts, Ryan and James. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM and James on Twitter at James Latinas. This is a very sad episode for us. We just watched the Knicks lose to the Nets after they blew a 28-point lead. And I wouldn't be surprised if MSG is up in smoke by 12. We're recording this at 10:31. Anyways, in today's podcast, we'll be going over our top 10 center fielders. This is probably going to be on the shorter side just because it is kind of late and that's all we have planned for today. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Deep Drive Pod if you haven't already. And let's get into this list. Let me pull my list up. Make sure you guys have your honorable mentions. I'll give mine right now. Where's my center field list?
Your center field list is not existing.
I just lost my center field list. Where'd it go? I just had it up.
You could just search your account on Twitter.
And it's on my account. Field. I could do that, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably easier for you.
All I've posted, but I gotta tell you though, posting okay. Just
posting honorable just mention.
Lists. Oh, what the fuck? Let me finish. Right, posting just lists is low key kind of annoying, and I really it's a bit frustrating, but. It's kind of all you can fucking do.
Post about Colin Moran breakouts after 1 week of the season.
Fuck so. You, dude. No, that was fuck a you.
I hope you should post my sinker. My sinker, that would help.
All right.
My
honorable mentions. I'm going to give one to Chaz McCormick. I had him at 18, but I think he could be top 10 by the end of next year. The two honorable mentions I have here, I guess, in terms of 12 and 11, would be Kike Hernandez and Harrison Bader. Bader's a guy that can be in the top 10 as well.
All right. Honorable mention, Ian Happ, because I like him. Enrique, Kike Hernandez, because I'm the Cubs. Like
oh, wow. At least I forgot. You've kind of just given up the whole bias.
Just a more.
Kike Hernandez, good playoff run. Probably should be top 10, but I put it to in the top 10 instead.
No, he's cool. He's not top 10.
And – no, fuck Cody Bellinger.
I'm gonna put Laureano a bit too high here, but whatever.
No, Bellinger. I think Bellinger's completely gone. He's got. He's beyond washed.
Okay, my honorable mentions are Laureano, Miles Straw, and because no one mentioned Miles Straw and DK Hernandez. Miles Straw's really cool though. Cool.
Yeah, Miles Straw's cool. Follow me on Twitter.
You took the cheater out of the top 10. That's
okay. At 10 for me, I have Trent Grisham of the San Diego Padres.
I also have Trent Grisham of the San Diego Padres.
I have Harrison Bader of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, number 9, I have Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I also have Cody Bellinger.
I have Ramon Laureano.
Okay, number 8, I have Ramon Laureano.
At number 8, I have Starling Marte. Oh
my God. Mm-hmm.
That's low.
No, I know it's gonna happen here, but anyways, continue.
It's James, you.
No, would you?
Oh, at number 8, I have Trent Grisham.
Okay. At number 7, I have Cedric Mullins the second.
I also have Cedric Mullins.
I also have Cedric Mullins.
Okay, number 6, I have Starling Marte.
At number 6, I have Harrison Bader.
Whoa.
Number 6, I can really explain this. Don't worry.
I have Brian Reynolds.
I know your explanation is going to be, but At number five, I have Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Also have Brian Reynolds.
And at five, I have Byron Buxton.
Okay, at number four, I have George Springer of the Toronto Blue Jays.
I have George Springer as well.
I have Starling Marte at number four.
At number three, I have Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins.
Byron Buxton's at my three spot.
And George Springer's at mine. And then Robert, two.
Luis Robert,
one.
Yep.
Okay. I should switch Buxton and Marte, but I'm not going to because I
you really shouldn't.
There's really no argument for Buxton being better. I mean, Marte being better, whatever.
No, but Buxton's like super, super injury prone. Like, yeah, but even like, then, he's really better than
Marte last season when he was injury prone. Like, almost better.
I don't think he was.
I don't think it was last year because
he definitely wasn't last year.
Not last year.
I don't care. I would have
But
real quick, I remember the Blue Jays Twitter was on my ass for having George Springer at four. I don't know why that was so unreasonable. I think George Springer at three is pretty good. Four is pretty good. You know, he plays pretty mid defense at this point of his career. You could argue it's below average. And he's a good bat, obviously, but I would argue that Luis Robert and Byron Buxton are pretty similar hitters to Springer, if not maybe even a bit better for if you're talking about Robert. And Mike Trout obviously is Mike Trout. Mike Trout is obviously one that's really it's undisputed. Obviously, the big difference here was Harrison Bader, and that was really it. I understand the steamer stuff with Harrison Bader, and he plays good defense, blah, blah, blah.
Not just that. But
it's just
that is literally it.
No, it's not just
running in good defense. That's all it is. Like, there's really nothing else to it.
Harrison Bader. So not only does Harrison Bader project like really well. So like we're talking like comparable to Brian Reynolds, those guys in terms of his projections. But as an on the field talent, he's played very well. You know, he's a really good defender, really good base runner. I know the problem is volume. And I get that, but I think volume is kind of a big thing for center fielders. Not means like. Who is the center fielder who doesn't have volume issues? Like maybe Starling Marte. Like I think every guy in our top 10 has some sort of volume issue.
Mullins.
Right.
Bellinger doesn't either.
Yeah. Mullins. But you don't think Bellinger has injury issues?
Yeah, dude. What are you talking about? Bellinger was injured for like a month last year.
Come on.
Okay, Bellinger.
You know, Reynolds, I guess.
But
as
like
well.
Before that, Bellinger played three seasons where he missed like six games total.
But you get my point, right? Like, you know, a lot of these center fielders happen to have injury issues. If you want to put Bader like 10, care. I mean, I really don't think he should be outside of your top 10. You know, he.
Yeah, because there's such a massive difference between 10 and 11.
He's at 11.
I think there's a bit of gap between him, like Ramon Laureano. I would say he's better than Trent Gershon, definitely. Actually,
like six.
Yeah, actually, no, I wouldn't even put him at 10. I would not put him at 10. I would put him six. I think nine is like the lowest you go with him.
Six is just way too.
And high. The reason being, but what is okay? How is
no? My what does Harrison Bader? That, no. What does Harrison Bader do better than Starling Marte?
Harrison Bader, I think, is a way better defender.
He plays better
that defense. Way better.
And Marte's a way better hitter.
Harrison Bader is arguably like a top five defender in baseball. Then on top of that, I'm totally not doing this. Like, I'm totally not pulling up Fangraphs right now.
You're literally going on Fangraphs to read his steamer projections. Then you're going to read projected defense. You're going to like go on his
reading
like,
off the fact. I'm reading off the fact that it's going to be okay. So
Marte the gap between the two in offense to be better than
Bader. No, he's not. They're projected to be around the same value, and it's with Bader. And you know, I get that. You know, volume definitely matters. I'm not saying volume doesn't matter. Volume absolutely matters. But at the same time, again, Harrison Bader is projected to put up 2.6 runs. Starling Marte 10.6. So there's an undisputed huge offensive gap there. But the defensive gap between the two last year was 10.3 runs. And that is despite the fact that Starling Marte had 526 appearances and 120 games compared to 103 games and 401 play appearances. So the fact that their gaps are relatively similar in terms of the level of value they're probably going to bring next year. And the fact that Bader doesn't have that aging curve that I have to worry about when Marte, I'm probably going to have to worry about some sort of aging curve there.
the Amartya chase rate is really high.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I think his unique style of hitting works for him because he's really fast, but I don't. There's a point which that aging curve is going to kick in. Bader isn't going to have that anytime soon. I'm not that worried about that with Bader. You know, I think he has a good system, and with the Cardinals, with Jeff Albert, I think that works really well with him as well, with the fly balls and pulled fly balls. If you don't want to have him at six, that's fine. You want to have him lower, that's cool with me. But I don't really think you could put him below Trent Grisham. He's been better than, he was flat out better than this year, projects to be better than. I don't think you could put him below guys like Ramon Laureano, who again, he was just flat out better than and projects to be better than. And I don't think you can put him, I think you could put Bellinger ahead of him, depending on how you feel about Bellinger. But you know, this is what, that means you can't put him at like any lower than like nine. I can't see him not in the top 10. James, did you have like 10?
Yeah.
Or not on the list? Yeah, you had him at 10, right?
Yeah.
From what and then Jackie on the list. Like, because I can't see
the 10th best center fielder,
which is literally,
you can't have Trent Grisham ahead of, you can't. Trent,
yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
You can't, because he's not. What is Trent? But Trent Grisham's a way worse defender. Both have offensive, and both are similar offensive.
Trent Grisham is an elite defender.
No, yeah. He's not an elite defender.
Yes, he's
an
elite
defender. His arm in center field is not that
care.
Good.
OA
is not. No, you should care. You should care, because you can't say someone plays elite defense unless they actually play elite defense. He doesn't play elite. He doesn't play elite.
James, can I just
elite defense is.
Thank you. Elite. Do you do it, James? Please. Thank you. Okay. Trent Grisham plays elite defense. If not, he plays borderline elite defense. He plays really, really, really good defense. Obviously, Bader's a better defender, but he plays really, really good defense, okay? He's going to be a better hitter than Bader. I don't really care what Seymour projections say. In 2020, he was obviously really elite. Definitely took a step back in 2021. Definitely, I think a juice ball didn't help him at all. Hit more ground balls, but that's more of an easier fix. And I think... he also runs the bases really well. I think that Grisham has a way higher ceiling than Bader does. This was a guy that I think was on a trajectory to be a top 30 player going into 2021. Obviously, 2020 is a very small sample size. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a guy who Harrison Bader, I think, has somewhat of a cap ceiling just based on his hitting ability. And Grisham does not. And that's where I think Grisham is better, and he can be better.
I want to contest one point. You mentioned Grisham's ability to be in a, like his offensive ceiling is way higher. I don't know how much I can agree with that, because he doesn't hit the ball very hard. You know, it's not just a matter if he hits a bunch of ground balls. He doesn't hit the ball very hard. Like, he does not hit the ball hard at all. If we're going to take 2020 as such an important sample size to look at, how can we not value the fact that Harrison Bader, over his last 526 play appearances, has a 111 WRC plus, a pretty league average barrel rate. The walk rate isn't there. I don't think he'll ever be a disciplined hitter, and Grisham will always have that over him. And that's something that makes Grisham a really, you know, really, that helps him stand out. But when you're projected to be roughly the same value as a player, and you're four, like, Steamer really likes Grisham. I think Grisham has a 111. I think they have that's, I think that's pretty accurate. I don't really see him Grisham. I think Bader's just the better per rate player, and he's played like the better player, and he has been the better player, and he's going to be the better, like, you know what I mean? Has been projected to be.
I know what you mean against that, but you're wrong.
Unfortunately, I think you're wrong.
And my I feel like this is where we add to the list of stupid bets. But Bader will have a worse WAR than Grisham next year.
So for the first time,
bookings.
So I just want to clarify. Harrison Bader in 526 plate appearances has a 4.4 F WAR since 2020. Trent Grisham has, in 779 play appearances, the same amount of F4. This is the fact that Harrison Bader.
And I would put a serious amount of money on Bader getting hurt again.
And I would put some money on Trent Grisham not playing as well as he did in 2020. And you know what? There's a lot to be worried about with the fact that Grisham spent time on IL and had a negative UZR, had a negative 2.1 arm rating, and got worse defensively. He had 508 and negative 2.1 arm rating. That's a good.
Thank you.
You mute him again?
Yeah.
You can't get. I was ready. That's not an elite defender. That's a good defender, though.
You didn't. Okay. So moving on.
I want to talk about Trout at one because I think he sucks.
Right. Ryan. Go ahead. I'm not even in the mood for jokes right now. I'm really not in a great mood today. After the Knicks, just not so. And I'm really tired. And I'm tired of the Knicks. And I'm tired of baseball. I'm tired of Rob Manfred taking the blame for the owners. Rob Manfred fucking sucks. Who likes Rob Manfred? Seems like a very unlikable guy. But Rob Manfred is doing a really good job on behalf of the owners. People will still sit there and say the players are at fault, that the owners and the players have equal responsibility, but Rob Manfred is the issue. Rob Manfred is trying to keep his job with the owners, in which he does a very good job at. He's getting the owners the best deal possible, and the owners are not going to say no to that. So let me tell you, like, you know, who cares about the top 10 center fielders? Who cares about that if there is no baseball to be played to begin with? And it's sickening, to be honest with you. And the players and the fans, they don't deserve this. And the owners, no, they fucking pieces of shit, to be honest with you. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I didn't realize you were going to go into some like deep monologue, but
it was not a deep monologue. It was just a fact. And you know, I speak facts, I deal in truth. That's all I do.
Also, like, you know, I want to just let fans know, you know, as long as the team is projected to be the best team in the league, like, it doesn't really matter what happens in baseball. Being the champions of projections, that's what matters. World Series doesn't really matter. Having a season matter. No, I'm joking. You nailed it. And on top of that, like with they're doing with minor league players, you know, Major League Baseball, they have a union. Players have a union. Not saying that they're in a good situation either, considering how the owners act. But there is an entire group of workers in the minor leagues that they have a union. They get paid very little. Their life sucks, essentially. They have to dedicate their entire life to playing a sport that refuses to pay them properly. And at this point, you know, Major League Baseball is kind of screwing themselves over. And I don't see it being much better anytime soon. But, you know, a lot of this labor issues going on now, I hope people understand it's more than just, you know, a greedy. It's not Garrett Cole sitting back and saying, I don't have money. It's, you know, a double-A prospect on, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates who's getting paid like $8 for 6 months and can't feed his family and is struggling. Like, it's not about Garrett Cole or Trout. It's about those guys, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, it impacts so many more people because you have people who are in the media, you have people who, you know, take baseball as their job, like YouTubers. Like, for example, you know, you've got, you know, YouTube not pushing baseball content out there because it's so dead. You know, I have nothing to really do. I'm so not motivated. And obviously, I'm very lucky that I don't have to support myself currently right now. And I'm lucky that I don't have baseball sort of my job. I mean, hopefully one day it is, but right now it's not. It would be a terrible time to have it. And, you know, there are members of the media, like, you know, Lindsay Adler is the Yankees beat writer, and she does a really good job. And she wrote a really nice article today about CC Sabathia's son who plays baseball. Like, that's a cool article, but that does not happen if there is, you know, no lockout. And the lack of awareness, sort of self-awareness by the owners to recognize that those are a group of 30 billionaires besides like Castellani, who's literally just so broke. Like, fuck you, Castellani, he's broke. These are a group of 29 billionaires in Castellani who are taking out of the pockets of so many more people. The people that work at the stadiums, people that, you know, cook at the stadiums, people that are, you know, part of the media, people that are on social media, and you know, people's livelihoods are so affected, just, you know, and that's all. You know, I know that, you know, we all talk about shooting on Rob Manfred, and I get that, but it's so deep, so much deeper than that, just because of how many people it affects. It doesn't affect just like the players. Of course, the players want to get paid. Minor leagues want to get paid. obviously minor leaguers, that's such a big issue, but it impacts so many other people as well. And just fuck the owners, man. The owners are at fault here. There's really nobody else to blame. So you guys have anything else before we wrap it up here?
Yeah, just like who at this point, like if you're like a Kyler Murray situation or like just anyone coming out of high school and you like baseball, but you also play other sports, why the fuck would you play baseball? Like who would willingly play baseball if you have another sport you can play?
It's more money. They make way more money.
Is it? Like
they make way more point, money.
At what point is
Kyler Murray? Well, Kyler Murray made a fuck. Kyler Murray's rookie deal was $32 million.
Also, you know, like their sponsorship opportunities. Yeah, like dude, if you're at the point where like if you're really good at basketball and you're really good at baseball and you're really good at football and you're really good at baseball, why the fuck would you play baseball at college? Go play basketball. Go play football.
Well, you'd play it in college.
Yeah. Football's TTE. But that would be the only deterrent. I would still play football.
But dude, play 5 years of NFL football. Play 5 years of NFL football. 5 years, and you'll.
If you're a first round pick in the NFL, like your odds to make more money, like arguably 30 times more money than you would playing baseball, is so much higher. And
I mean, the odds are higher, but the max is way lower.
Dude, you have to. You're gonna be You're gonna be a part of a labor force that can't unionize. Like
baseball players have better, like have it better than any other league's players.
Minor league, yes, major league players, but minor leaguers have it worse than any other athlete. Like I think in any North American sport, it's not even close. Like, and on top of that, you're going to make money for 6 months. Then after those 6 months, you got to figure out how to make money while also being better at baseball. Spend like 5 years down the minors and pray to God to get called up. Like no one is going, like who wants to fucking play baseball when you could go play basketball? And you could be really popular in college too. You don't like college World Series guys don't become as popular as NCAA legends. And it's coming up soon, by the way. Or like a fucking
Rose Bowl. Dude, I cannot wait for these conference tournaments.
It's like and I want to real quick, Ryan, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no,
like
also, good.
You know, there's NBA G leaguers make $37,000 a year. Like, why can't we do that for baseball players? You know, why can't we do that for minor league players? And
they make what?
They make $37,000 a year to be a G league player.
That's because there's one G league and there's like 27 minor leagues.
Well, yeah, but again,
many less players.
Well, obviously, that's why. It's less, obviously, logistically speaking, yes. But if you gave minor league players $25,000 a year, and that's really over 6 months, like, that's very affordable for owners. These are billionaires. It's incredibly affordable. It's better investments, too. Like, these are guys that, if I was an owner and had that kind of money, I would like to think that I would put more money into my minor league system to get better products, to get better players, to get better, you know, production from the minor league system. Because you figure better, you know, nutrition, the better training, all that probably make these players better, but you know, they don't do it. You guys have anything else before it ended here?
Like, dude, we're done. Yeah, we're good. I'm good.
All right. That's it for this episode of the Deep Drive Pod. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter and Instagram if you don't already, at Deep Drive Pod. Leave us a 5-star rating, whatever platform you're listening to. We have an announcement coming up soon. Not going to do it yet because we're still trying to figure it out, finalize it. But really cool stuff happening hopefully soon.
It's on the 1-yard line, don't worry.
On the 1-yard line, as my friend Gary Sanchez returns his bandwagon would say. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MLB Nerds. Go follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM, and go follow James on Twitter at James Valentinas. It's been a deep drive into left field, and we will see you in episode number 55.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.